my football, baby.
What's up, guys? Welcome into the Fantasy Football Smackdown. I'm your host, Kyle August. It's Thursday, January 27th, and on today's show, covering my early 2022 redraft rankings, taking a look at some of the risers and fallers compared to how we finished up draft season in 2021. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter at KyleMonth8. Appreciate you guys listening to the podcast, and we're continuing to pump out content here on the Warzone Network. So if you like what you hear, leave us a five-star review wherever you're listening, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Spotify. It helps out the show. And it's a free way to do it. It just takes you a couple minutes. So I always appreciate those reviews. Full disclosure, just a note, I am recording this a little bit early due to some logistics. So I'm recording this prior to the divisional round games. So if any big news or changes come out from this upcoming weekend for me, you guys already know about it, but it won't be reflected in this podcast. So just a note there. Again, keep continuing to tune in. We got the rookie rundown coming at you every week. You got the Dynasty Warzone, of course, on Wednesdays in your podcast feed, and the Smackdown will continue to be a Thursday show for you guys wherever you're subscribed. So stay tuned in. Let's dive into this thing. So in essence, what I did here was I ranked my top 30 around at each position, but on today's show, I'm going to highlight the top 12 quarterbacks and tight ends and my top 24 at running back and wide receivers. I'm going to note some of the biggest movers, fallers, and then some of the new players into the top 24, 12 at their position. So let's just start with the quarterbacks. Here is my top 12, early top 12 for 2022. I do have Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes at the top one and two. I think they're pretty close, but with the rushing ability that we saw from Allen and Mahomes, just, you know, still being otherworldly, but not to the extent that he was just a few years ago. For me, he falls to number two, but this is obviously the top tier at the position. So we have Allen and Mahomes at one and two, Justin Herbert at three, Lamar Jackson at four, Kyler Murray at five. So you got those rushing quarterbacks at four and five. After that, it's Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott. I have Deshaun Watson at nine right now, Matthew Stafford, Joe Burrow, and Jalen Hurts. So some of the biggest movers from this group, Justin Herbert moves up from seven to three. What we saw from him in his sophomore campaign was just another great performance that can't be overlooked. The thing to note with Herbert is if he loses Mike Williams this offseason, who is a pending free agent, that could impact Herbert's ranking maybe a spot or two, because right behind him, having Lamar and Kyler, those guys have the bigger upside, even though we've seen some of the downside from those two QBs over the course of the last couple seasons as well. When you look at a few other biggest movers, you have Tom Brady jumping up four spots as well. If he's playing, he's going to be a top 10 quarterback. His pass attempts were through the roof this season, obviously up there in the league leaders in attempts, yardage, and touchdowns. The health and situation of Chris Godwin will also impact Brady's ranking as well, as Godwin is a free agent, but also coming back off of the injury. Same thing with Aaron Rodgers. He moved up a couple spots, but his landing spot could make a difference as well. Deshaun Watson is the only new player inside the top 12 this year. He slots in at number nine for me. Obviously, we don't know his legal situation or landing spot yet, but if he is on the field in the NFL in 2022, he is a top 10 quarterback pretty easily. In fact, he'd probably move up a few spots depending once we know the landing spot for him. Last quarterback I'll touch on before jumping into a few of the guys that fell out of the top 12 or saw a fall, Joe Burrow. He was actually another mover inside the top 12. He moves from 13 to 11. I like Joe Burrow, don't get me wrong. And the fact of what he's doing in the playoffs, again, pending whatever happened this last weekend against the Titans, we've seen a great run from Burrow. His weapons are awesome, and I don't think you can overlook that. But I do think you can cap his upside just a bit due to the fact of he's not going to run the ball. We've seen that now over the last two seasons. And for me, when you look at his game log, he only had three games over 22 fantasy points for QB that's not studly performance, right? And two of those games came against the Baltimore Ravens, whose defense was in shambles. So while I like Burrow to take another step as far as consistency goes in 2022, I'm not yet ready to anoint him in that Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray range as far as the upside goes. But I still like Burrow, and he's new to the top 12. So Deshaun Watson and Joe Burrow are two new players to the top 12 at the quarterback position. The two biggest fallers for me overall were two guys that ended up falling outside of the top 12 versus my 2021 rankings. And at number 13 is Russell Wilson, dropping seven spots. Mr. Consistency year after year, but this last season, hopefully it was just due to the injury in the second half, but this guy struggled mightily. There's going to be a shakeup there, I think, as far as that offense goes. And Russ's status in Seattle is a little bit in question as well. So we'll keep an eye on that. But for right now, Russell Wilson slots in at quarterback 13, dropping 7 slots. The biggest faller in my rankings compared to 2021 is Ryan Tannehill, dropping 8 spots. We saw really good production from him after those first couple years in Tennessee, but this last season just wasn't a fantasy starter, really, when you're looking at 1QB leagues. He falls to QB 16 for me. He'll be in that streaming category. We'll take a look at what Tennessee does in their offense if they add any more weapons for 2022. That could bump him up a few spots, but for me, he falls behind what is known for me as the Kirk Cousins line, right? Is Kirk Cousins to me is just your, you know, ho-hum. He's going to be a low-end QB1 probably, but you take him a little outside of the top 12 and he'll probably perform for you without much of an issue. Tannehill is just behind that for me. So lots of interesting things to keep an eye on at this position with some of the landing spots from Rodgers and Watson and Wilson. And then obviously what we expect as far as what for these rookie quarterbacks, with two of them getting new head coaches this offseason, it'll be interesting to see when you keep a status on Justin Fields, Trey Lance, and Trevor Lawrence as well. So there you have it. Those are some of the quarterback movers. Let's move on to the running back position. Covering the top 12 first, then I'll go 13 through 24. The top 12 for me, early 22 rankings, is Jonathan Taylor 1, Derrick Henry coming in at 2, Austin Eckler at 3. I still have Christian McCaffrey at RB4, followed by DeAndre Swift at 5. 6 is Alvin Kamara, 7 is Joe Mixon. Najee comes in at number 8. Dalvin Cook falls a bit to number 9. Nick Chubb, Saquon Barkley, and Elijah Mitchell. What jumps out to me with this top 12 is, for me right now, there's 8 running backs that I really like. Stopping at Najee Harris, and the first guy out as far as that tier goes would be Dalvin Cook. I have some concerns about Dalvin Cook and what we saw from him this season. I still think he has at least one really good year in him, but I'm just not sure that he's that elite top 5 running back when you look at some of these other players. As far as Saquon Barkley in this group too, he was one of the biggest fallers for me. He dropped 6 spots. He's down to number 11. In consensus ranking over at Fantasy Pros, he's even further down. I want to see what this team does as far as their offense goes. It was really concerning that the fact that Saquon's workload was extremely limited in the second half. When you factor in that, you know, they brought him back and this is a team that didn't have much to play for. So why is he out there if he's not close to 100%? So going to be paying attention to a lot of the offseason reports with Saquon Barkley. One of the new players, as far as even inside the top 24, but also obviously a new player inside the top 12, is going to be sophomore running back Elijah Mitchell. He established himself in that San Francisco offense. He was on fire whenever he was on the field for the 49ers. And I think unless there's a major shakeup there in the offense, I think having him at number 12, well, I'm not super excited to have him there. I think it is pretty obvious that he has just as much upside as any of these other guys. And it feels weird to say, but maybe even enough security there. I loved what he was getting as far as his share of the workload there in San Francisco. As far as inside the top 12, another big mover that that jumped inside the top 12 from just outside was DeAndre Swift. For me, last year, Swift came in at number 15 on my in my rankings in August, and he jumps up to number 5. I like him in that Swift, Kamara, Mixon, Harris tier. I think what we saw from Swift being, I think he was 4th among running backs in receptions, and that included him missing games. This guy was heavily involved. I think the timeshare is a little bit concerning, but that's pretty much going to be the case for almost every single one of these running backs outside of probably just the guys at the very tip top in JT and Derrick Henry. So for me, Swift is a guy that I think has a lot of upside. When you look at somebody like Joe Mixon, who just came off a really, really big year, I still think we might have just seen his best season. I think that the better days are ahead still for DeAndre Swift, and I love his involvement in the passing game. Was a premier player there. So that covers your top 12. So again, 10 wrapped up at 10 was Chubb, Barkley, and Elijah Mitchell. 13 through 24, some new faces here to the top 24. Some just coming back due to the injury. But at 13, I have Cam Akers. 14 is Javonte Williams. 15 is Antonio Gibson. 16 is J.K. Dobbins, followed by David Montgomery, Josh Jacobs. 19 is Aaron Jones. 20 is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. 21 through 24 is Michael Carter, Travis Etienne, Leonard Fournette, and Damian Harris. So covering let's go to the good first. So some new players at top 24 for me this season. Cam Akers, just coming back from the injury, that running back slot, whoever is the guy for the LA Rams is going to have a ton of fantasy value. I love what I've seen from him already. Again, this is recording before their divisional round matchup, but 17 carries in the wild card round for Cam Akers was unexpected for me. And I like what I saw from him, and he's a do it all back. What Sony Michel did in an offense was, in my opinion, a little bit capped just due to his lack of ability to contribute in the passing game. But I think Akers can do it all. And this is an offense that's going to be in the red zone a ton. So I like Cam Akers at running back 13, new to the top 24 for me this year. Another guy just right behind him is Javonte Williams, jumped 12 spots compared to where I had him ranked at the end of draft season in 2021. Williams does have the concern of what they do with Melvin Gordon. Last week, Dallas mentioned when we went through our rookie sophomore draft, Melvin Gordon looked really good, and I agree with him. I think what Melvin did for the Denver Broncos in 2021 shouldn't be overlooked. Melvin Gordon's, I think he's going to be 29 next season, but that doesn't mean he can't have one good year in him with splitting carries. And if the Broncos see an opportunity there to bring him back at a team-friendly deal, I wouldn't be surprised if they do that. I don't think Javonte is going to be the only show in town. They will sign someone, but if that running back's name is Melvin Gordon, Williams might bump down just a couple spots for me in my redraft rankings. Not as much in Dynasty, obviously, but for redraft might move down just a couple. If it's pretty much anyone else, if they go with Mike Boone or some other free agent running back that isn't as high as Gordon, in my opinion, then Williams will probably stay just about here, maybe even bump up a spot or two. A couple other new players to the top 24. There's four other running backs that are new this season. J.K. Dobbins, another injury situation there, but I think he's going to be the guy in Baltimore, assuming full health. Michael Carter jumps up 10 spots from his rookie ranking. I like what he did in New York, especially in the passing game. I think he can solidify himself as the go-to back there for the Jets. Travis Etienne, he's obviously new due to injury as well. James Robinson being hurt elevates Etienne to a player that I love targeting in round four or five again this season. I think there's going to be some upside there despite the fact of the offense. And then the last guy that's new to the top 24 this year is Leonard Fournette. He jumped about 15 spots for me compared to where I had him last year. I think when we talked about 2021, the Tampa Bay backfield was, well, is Ronald Jones going to get the carries? Is it going to be playoff Lenny? We saw that not only did Leonard Fournette lead that backfield in carries, he was heavily involved in the passing game thanks to Tom Brady under center. Fournette is going to be a pending free agent after the year, and I think that the playoff run for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will impact how they view Fournette as far as giving him a contract, or even on the other side, how much Fournette thinks he deserves. If Fournette lands back in Tampa Bay and he's the lead back, honestly, I think he's going to jump over a few of these guys that are ahead of him at the moment. But I conservatively had him ranked at 23 in my rankings, jumping up about 15 spots. All right, some of the biggest fallers and the guys that fell outside of the top 24 compared to last year. I mentioned Saquon Barkley already. He dropped six spots. Antonio Gibson, he was a top 10. He was at RB10. He was a top 10 running back for me last year. I think he's just a solid RB2. I just don't see him. He didn't take that step that I needed to see from him in 2021. Add in the fact that there is a lot of question marks around that offense, around that quarterback situation. So while I think Gibson is going to be a solid running back too, I just think there's other running backs that have more upside than him, i.e. Mitchell, Akers, and Javonte, who are ranked ahead of him right now in my early 22 rankings. A few other fallers. Aaron Jones, he drops 11 spots to RB19. I don't love what I saw down the stretch with that being a more even split, especially when you factor in that A.J. Dillon was the one getting the goal line touches. I think it's going to be very important here to watch what Green Bay has either done in this round or going forward, if assuming they moved on, again, recording this early, because if Dillon continues to be featured again, there's going to be concern for me that Aaron Jones is on the wrong side of a timeshare there, despite him being extremely talented and could still put up fantasy numbers. That upside is going to be capped. Clyde Edwards-Helaire dropped down six spots for me. Honestly, I think there's some of these guys that have some questions around them that could hop CEH, and maybe even including some of these rookie class, because I don't know that I've really liked what I've seen out of CEH, given the opportunity and not really taking the reins there in Kansas City. There were also, we got seven other guys that fell outside of the top 24 compared to last year. So I'll highlight a couple of those that were still inside my top 30. Ezekiel Elliott, he dropped big time for me. He was my biggest faller overall as far as the guys that I ranked in the top 30. Zeke was a top five running back for me. He was RB4 last year, drops all the way to, for me, running back 27. I don't love what I saw from him last year. He was really propped up by the double-digit touchdowns. Now, if he's in the situation where it's a more even split with Pollard and he's still getting the goal line work, he can probably fall into up a couple spots where I kind of have a guy like Damian Harris. But I just don't love what I saw from Zeke as far as on the field. He was playing with an injury. I get it. But I just think his explosiveness is it's done. It's over. He will be on the Dallas Cowboys due to his contract. So that's not going to change anything up. But I wouldn't be surprised, even if going into the season, he's as healthy as he's ever been. We get those reports. But then we start seeing Tony Pollard sprinkled more and more and more. And in that second half, it's a Tony Pollard show with Zeke just getting the goal line work and honestly probably zapping the upside of both these running backs as far as 2022 goes. But for me, Zeke is a big-time faller. Miles Sanders also fell outside the top 24, dropping five spots for me. Currently have him slotted in as RB28. He's a flex running back for me right now. Still waiting on that 2021 touchdown. Never came. The other five running backs that fell outside the top 24 for me, some of these guys were just based off of injury and change of circumstance there. But Chris Carson, Chase Edmonds, that Arizona situation is going to be one to watch. You might have noticed I don't have James Conner inside my top 24. These running backs in Arizona, there's going to be a lot of shakeup due to free agency. So we'll see who they bring back and how that situation pans out for the Cardinals. But Carson and Edmonds outside the top 24 now. James Robinson due to the injury. Gus Edwards due to J.K. Dobbins coming back. And then Miles Gaskin because his name is Miles Gaskin. So he will no longer be in my top 24. So there you have the running back position, some of the risers and fallers there. Let's take a look at the wide receiver slot. Four new faces to the top 24 this year. Obviously, that means four dropping out. But the top 12 did shake up just a bit, and here's how this one looks for me. So wide receiver 1 through 12, I'm keeping Davante Adams at the tip top. That's assuming, though, he is in Green Bay and he's still paired with Aaron Rodgers. I just think he has the safest floor to continue to produce at an extremely high level. Cooper Kupp doesn't fall too far after his unbelievable 2021 season. His upside is still there, paired with Matthew Stafford in an offense that should remain pretty much intact. Cooper Kupp is number 2 for me as obviously a big-time riser up 12 slots. Wide receiver 3 for me is Ja'Marr Chase, jumping big time, 19 slots compared to where he came in heading into his rookie season. We've seen what this kid can do. The only real concern is not necessarily the production, but just the volume just a bit. If he's not getting as many catches as some of these other guys around him, that could prevent him from being wide receiver 1 as far as in people's rankings, but you got to love what you've seen from this kid. Justin Jefferson comes in at number 4, up a few slots for me. Tyreek Hill drops just a bit, but he's still wide receiver 5. When he was on the field, he was still producing at a high level. I just don't know that he has that contention to be wide receiver 1, but he's obviously still going to be a fantasy monster. The biggest mover in my rankings, and this is just due to my non-belief, I'm sorry, once again, but Deebo Samuel, it's a little bit risky. It feels like it because of the volume and you're relying on some rushing production there that may or may not continue. But for me, Deebo Samuel jumped up from outside my top 35 all the way to number 6. I'm going to keep an eye on what that offense does as far as the quarterback situation, but I think Deebo is going to be a top 12 option in 2022. AJ Brown is right where he was for me last year. He comes in at wide receiver 7, followed by Stephon Diggs, who dropped just a bit. The targets were there, but the production just took a little bit of a fall. I think also, too, for me, when I'm looking at Stephon Diggs, he's that cutoff point for me of the guys I still feel really, really good about. I just, some of these options of with Kupp and what Chase and Jefferson have done, I think they've leapfrogged Diggs as far as the upside goes. But I still think Diggs is a very solid wide receiver 1 option next season in Buffalo. 9 through 12, CeeDee Lamb, DK Metcalf, Keenan Allen, and Mike Evans. With CeeDee Lamb, a lot of negative pub on him right now. I totally get it. He actually went up a few slots for me, but that has more to do, I think, with some of the other guys that were ahead of him last year. Going to keep an eye on that Dallas situation, though. A lot of things could change for the Cowboys with pending free agents Cedric Wilson and Michael Gallup. Amari Cooper having a cuttable contract, and Dalton Schultz also a free agent. So we're going to have to keep an eye on that. But also, I think the biggest factor is, do we continue to see this Cowboys defense improve or at least hold to where they were in 2021? One of the big factors about loving the Cowboys from a fantasy perspective last year heading into the season was that their defense was horrendous the year before, constantly playing catch up. I still think CeeDee Lamb, though, is a top 12 guy. Again, Lamb, Metcalf, Keenan Allen, the forever man, and then Mike Evans. Mike Evans made a big jump for me. Wasn't really a believer on him last year, but if Tom Brady's still there, I think Mike Evans has to be a borderline wide receiver 1. 13 through 24, T. Higgins, Chris Godwin, obviously dealing with the injury. He would be higher if he could have a Cooper Kupp-like return. And also, we got to keep an eye on his landing spot. So T. Higgins and Chris Godwin at 13 and 14. The upcoming sophomore season for Jalen Waddle slots him in at number 15 for me. DeAndre Hopkins, one of the biggest fallers for me, dropping 12 slots down to wide receiver 16, followed by Deontay Johnson, Amari Cooper. And then this is where what I'm going to call the Moore line. In 19, I have Elijah Moore, who I love the upside from. What we saw from this kid during his stretch in the middle of the season was unbelievable. I think there's a lot of upside there. And at number 20 is DJ Moore, who honestly I want no part of, but you can't sneeze at his target volume that you saw last season. But the dude just scores 4 touchdowns. That's all he does. So he is he's the line where I kind of feel I'm okay grabbing this guy as my wide receiver too, but I don't love the upside as opposed to Elijah Moore. I'm a little bit hesitant about his floor, but his ceiling I think is much higher. At 21 through 24 is Terry McLaurin. Michael Pittman Jr. comes in at 22. Tyler Lockett at 23. And as of right now, I have Calvin Ridley slotted in at 24. A lot of question marks around where he will play next season. So taking a quick look at that top 24, highlighting some of the new faces. The 4 new faces for me that jumped inside the top 24 compared to last year. Mentioned Deebo Samuel. Jalen Waddle jumps 23 spots. I love what I've seen out of him last year. I think his upside could just be a little capped based off of his lack of vertical game, but his volume is obviously there and he's still finding the end zone. Elijah Moore, and then Michael Pittman jumps a bit as well as in that nice wide receiver 2 range. Some of the biggest fallers that were still inside my top 24 compared to last season. I mentioned DeAndre Hopkins. I don't love what I saw from him. That he was kind of propped up by his touchdowns this season. The volume really dropped, and obviously dealing with that injury banged up multiple times throughout the year, and which ultimately ended his season there in Arizona. I still think he's a guy that you can count on, not like what we saw from Julio Jones this last year. I think Hopkins isn't going to fall off like that. I'm just not sure that he should be treated as an Uber elite anymore. Terry McLaurin drops 10 spots as well to wide receiver 21 for me. I did not like what I saw from him last year. We've seen constantly from him over the course of his time in Washington that he's been able to overcome bad quarterback play. That did not happen in 2021. So that's going to be a landing spot that we're going to have to keep an eye on for the quarterback position in 2022. And then the next biggest faller was Calvin Ridley, which I was super high on him. We'll keep an eye. He's going to be a guy that moves a lot this offseason as far as my rankings go. I think this is a guy that still is extremely talented. I want a piece of him. And if he lands on a decent offense, he's going to jump way, way up the board. There were 4 names that fell outside of the top 24 with some of these younger players moving in after nice seasons. Those players are Allen Robinson. Got a landing spot for him potentially if he's moving on from Chicago. Robert Woods due to the injury. Julio Jones due to being old and not very good. And then Juju Smith-Schuster because my blinders have finally been removed. Juju will no longer be in my top 24, and he will be on the move more than likely this offseason as well. So last but not least, let's touch on the tight end position. I'm going to cover my top 12 here just like I did for the quarterbacks. I got 3 new faces to the top 12. That we're going to kick it off with a guy that I still think should be tight end 1, and that is Travis Kelce. Continues to put up big numbers year after year. I know he's getting up there in age. From a dynasty perspective, you may be concerned. From a redraft perspective, there shouldn't be any. This guy's the tight end 1. I do think that the gap has closed a bit when you look at, for me, the next 4 guys in my rankings, but I still think Travis Kelce is the guy that you're going to take first of the position if you're going tight end early. Now, obviously, it's early. It's January, but for me, it's Kelce, and then 2 through 5 is really close. And as of right now, I'm going to take a shot on Kyle Pitts as the tight end 2 in redraft. I like what I saw as the volume goes for this kid. The talent level was definitely there. And if he added just a few more touchdowns, even just a reasonable amount, this kid would have been right up there with everybody else as far as on a points per game basis. He only had the 1 touchdown last season. So I think Kyle Pitts has a ton of upside, a lot more room to grow. And when you factor in some of the what's looking like maybe a little bit of a slide on the Kittle and Waller train, maybe even if it's out of their control due to quarterback play, I think Pitts, while his quarterback play isn't necessarily going to improve either, I just think another year in the NFL is going to turn this kid into a superstar. And I'd like to take a shot on that upside rather than hoping that things can hold on for Kittle and Waller as an example. So these 4 guys after Kelce, I'm pretty much okay with in any position, but these are the 5 guys I want. I want one of these guys on my team. If I don't end up with a top 5 tight end, I'm going to be concerned. We'll talk about that as far as draft strategies go as we move through the offseason. So Kyle Pitts is tight end 2 for me, followed by the dude that came on as a monster late in the season, Mark Andrews, tight end 3. Now here's the concern. I did a quick look at this with Lamar Jackson. In his games with Lamar, he was averaging 12.5 fantasy points and half PPR. Very solid top six tight end, still a tight end one, and a guy that you want. You feel good about the tight end position on your team if you own Mark Andrews. But in this, in those last five handful of games without Lamar Jackson, he averaged over 20 fantasy points per game, was putting up ungodly numbers. I'm not sure that's sustainable regardless of who the quarterback is, but you got to make you wonder just a bit, what is the true Mark Andrews? For now, I'm still putting him at tight end three. George Kittle comes in at four and Darren Waller at five. Kittle can obviously have those big-time explosive games. The injuries, at this point, we need to be bringing it up. He continues to miss a few games here and there. But when he's on the field, he's really solid. But if they go Trey Lance, I'd be a little bit more concerned. Darren Waller, his touchdowns evaporated this season in addition to his late-season injury. But I still think on a talent level, he needs to be here in this top five. And this group that I want to walk away from my draft with one of these names. So it's Kelce, Pitts, Andrews, Kittle, Waller. After that, the rest of these guys, I don't really feel that good about, but here we go. TJ Hockenson at six. Cross your fingers that whole thing works out in, was this year three, year four for him? Got to see it, TJ. Dallas Goedert at number seven. Gronk, assuming he's back, is going to be at number eight. Tyler Higbee at nine. Dawson Knox, he's new to my rankings at all. I didn't really have him inside my top 20 last year, like most people. He comes in at number 10. Mike Gesicki, the target monster, who is also a ghost at times, he will be potentially looking for a new home as well this offseason. So for him, a lot of question marks, but he's still tight end 11. And then Logan Thomas is at number 12. Again, anything after five, I don't feel great about. And really anything after seven is a big time question mark. So some of the biggest risers and fallers here at the tight end position. As far as risers go, Gronk for me, just because if he's out there and healthy, I still think he can be a top 10 tight end. And then for me, Dallas Goedert as well. I like what I saw from him. When you factor in, obviously I'm comparing draft rankings from 2021 heading into the season, he still had Zach Ertz at the time. Now that Zach Ertz is no longer there, I think you got to look at Dallas Goedert as a top eight option and feel good about it. For me though, I just feel like he doesn't have that top five upside yet, but he's close. Him and Hockenson are in that tier together for me. As far as some fallers go, Logan Thomas was tight end eight for me last year. He's just barely holding on to being a top 12 tight end. And the three tight ends that fell outside the top 12. So the newcomers to the top 12 were Gronk, Knox, and Gesicki. The three guys that fell out were Noah Fant, who might be the tight end two on his own team, Jonnu Smith, we won't talk about that, and Robert Tonyan, right? The guy that was just hanging on to touchdowns that evaporated as could be expected. He was tight end 12 for me last year and now unranked. So overall, I think when I'm taking a look at this, if I can have some high level takeaways, the quarterback position was extremely predictable last year. Yes, some of the names shuffled around, but if you look at the top 12 in ADP and the top 12 finishers, they were pretty damn close. I still want to get a rushing quarterback if I can with upside, but when you look at the non-rushing quarterbacks, quote unquote, there's a really good group there. When if you figure Dak, Stafford, Burrow, and then even, you know, Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins, those types of guys are going to be readily available and guys I'll probably get at running back. I've talked about it already. If I don't get one of the Uber elites, I'm just going to bail out on that first round. And for me, that tier for right now is just three guys, Taylor, Henry, and Eckler. The McCaffrey, Swift, Kamara group at that point, I'm really questioning whether I just take a receiver over those guys and not necessarily risk it. When I'm looking at the position as of right now, there's still some guys I like in that 20 to 25-28 range even, and when we haven't even added the rookies yet. So still some room there at the running back position for some mid to late round value. At receivers, there's a lot of guys I like here, and I'm probably going to take a lot of them early. That top eight or so is extremely solid, and all the way down from eight to wide receiver 19 and Elijah Moore, I love the upside on a lot of these guys, but a lot of questions still to be answered when you look at quarterback and landing spot with these guys. And at tight end, like I just mentioned, I want a top five guy. It's end of story. Could Hockenson or Goddard move into there? Maybe. We'll keep an eye on it. But for me, it's top five or bust. Outside of that, I'm punting away at the position. So there you have it. Appreciate you guys. Hopefully you enjoyed this show. It was really quick coming at you with my early 2022 rankings. I'll be back next week with another show here on the Fantasy Football Smackdown. Wednesday night live on YouTube and Thursday in your podcast feed. So with that, hopefully you guys have a good rest of your week. And I'll catch you guys next week. I'll see you.